The Muslim radical shouted, demanding heavy punishment, as heavy as possible.
To be in prison is to be in despair, because one doesn't just lose one's freedom, one loses everything. One theoretically even loses one's life.
This is truly a time of suffering, because I got separated from my family. My children need their mother beside them.
It had been 8 years since I had seen my wife and my two boys together at the same time. 8 years in which we couldn't chat together. We couldn't pray together.
After my father was told of my imprisonment, he said, I am proud of my daughter for the suffering she experienced for Christ. Just finish what the Lord has assigned you to do. Just keep on preaching the gospel.
For me, it has been an incredible feeling to walk out a free man. I took my wife's hand and my daughter's hand. My boys were behind us. And I raised my eyes to the heavens because my help comes from the Lord.
How wonderful! They are free at last. Your prayers really do make a difference to those in prison and to their families who suffer. But sadly, the battle is not over. More than 100 million Christians around the world should be free to believe and live out their faith openly without suffering interrogation, arrest, torture, and even death. But they are not free to believe, and they need our prayers. Christian parents should not have to choose between their faith and the lives of their loved ones. But they are not free to believe, and they need our prayers. Nor should fathers be forced to choose between their faith and their homes and jobs. But they are not free to believe. They need your prayers. No one should be robbed of their dignity or their very life just because they've decided to follow Jesus. But in over 60 countries, Christians are not free to believe. They stand on the front lines of a spiritual battle, choosing faith and accepting the consequences. Amazingly, as I meet these men and women, people of whom the world is not worthy, they ask us to pray for those who persecute them. They know that because they're Christians, they are not free to demonstrate their beliefs. They cannot live out their faith in the open or share it with others without severe consequences. In the midst of any trauma that may come, they strive, they pray to remain faithful to the end, whatever that end may be. And that's what I'm asking you to do today. I'm asking you to pray for the persecuted, for those who are on the front lines of this spiritual battle. Your prayer support is so vital. Join the battle, because they are not free to believe, not yet. Your prayers make a difference. They set the captives free.
Do you know me? My name is Paul. Many Many years ago, I was born and raised in a home that was incredibly religious, and I served in the religion of my people. I became educated beyond probably anything that we could imagine. And I thought that it was my job, that God wanted me to stop this upstart group of new people who followed a Nazarene. And so if I found any individuals who followed his way, I would imprison them. I was given papers and authorities to put them in jail and persecute and torture them. And finally, I'd had enough, and I was going to do away with the way. And so I went and got the appropriate papers to finally wipe this group out. And I was on my way to Damascus, and I was riding a horse. And a bright light shone, and I was knocked clean off of my horse. And I heard a voice. And the voice said, "Saul, why is it that you're persecuting me?" And my response was, "Who is it, Lord?" And he said, "It's I, Jesus." Right then and there, my life had changed. "What would you have me do, Lord?" And he told me that I should go to this home and be there for a few days, and I would receive my sight back. The encounter with Jesus blinded me. And then after that, I trained under the care of godly individuals and grew in Christ for a number of years. And then God sent me on another journey, and I became a missionary and went all over the world, encouraging believers, starting churches, preaching the gospel, seeing people come to faith in Christ. One such church was started by beloved friends of mine, Priscilla and Aquila, in the city of Ephesus. It's a magnificent city. And in Ephesus, I was able to pastor there for a number of years and encourage the believers there. They faced an awful lot. One of the things that that region and city is known for, they were the keepers of the temple of Diana or Artemis, depending on Roman or Greek mythology, who is not a god at all, who doesn't deserve a temple, and yet they were there in the shadow of that temple, in spiritual warfare all the time. But they were a gospel witness. You know the gospel. The gospel which we preach, Christ and Him crucified, foolishness to mankind, and yet the power of God unto salvation. Jesus Christ died, was buried, and raised to new life. The gospel. According to the scriptures, Christ suffered and died. The gospel. Do you believe the gospel? Have you come to the cross and faith in Jesus Christ? Have you bowed your knee and said, "Lord Jesus, I need you. Come into my life. Be my Lord and Savior. I'm tired of striving and trying to save myself. Make myself clean from my sin. Only you can do that." Have you done that? Have you repented of your sin and turned to Jesus Christ in faith and faith alone in Him? Or are you trusting something else today? That is the message I preached that brought me these. It brought me far more than these. 5 times I was beaten by the Jews with a lash, given 39 lashes across my back. 3 times I was beaten with rods. I was even stoned once for the gospel. Not me, but for the witness of my Lord. Persecutions come. Persecutions of many sorts. not just physical, mental, emotional trauma, persecutions of all kinds. There are brothers and sisters of yours and mine that are suffering around the world today that we could not possibly imagine how much they are suffering. I saw the video with you. 8 years imprisoned without seeing his sons and his wife. For what? Claiming the name of Christ. 8 years. Not a single supper, not a chat, not a visit. All because of Christ. It exists today. So what are we to do? Well, the Ephesians, the Christians there, faced spiritual battle. They faced persecution. And by God's grace and through His Spirit, I was able to write them a letter and tell them how to prepare themselves for this battle. And I said to them, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God that you might be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, beloved. Our struggle is against the rulers. Our struggle is against the powers. Our struggle is against the world forces of this darkness and against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on the full armor of God that you might be able to resist in the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having girded your loins with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you will be able to extinguish all of the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take up the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And then you know what we're to do? We're to pray. We're to pray with all prayers and petitions. We're to pray at all times in the Spirit. And with this in view, be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all of the saints. Not just the ones in this room. And I ask them to pray on my behalf, that utterance may be given to me in the opening of my mouth to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains. That in the opening of my mouth I might speak it with boldness as I ought to speak. Beloved, pray. Be the intercessors for those who suffer, for those who bleed, those who die for their faith. There are four individuals who have given testimony of how you should pray for them.
When we became independent from the Soviet Union, we had religion freedom for many years. Many Uzbeks became Christians during those years. Now the door has closed again and we have many restrictions. An Uzbek is supposed to be a Muslim. When my husband and I became Christian, his parents made us leave their house. My brothers beat him, my husband also lost his job. We decide to move to another city. Today we are leaders of a small house group of Uzbek Christians. Recently, most of our furniture has been confiscated in order to pay for a fine. A fine for meeting without registration and having Bibles in our home. Next time they charge us, we may go to jail. Will you pray for us that we may experience God's grace and power in these situations? Please pray.
Hello, my name is Habib, and this is my wife, Amida, and I have two little children. As you see, I am living here, and in this place is in the middle of nowhere, because a while ago I had a vision about Jesus Christ. He said to me, He is the one I'm supposed to be following. And ever since I gave my heart to Jesus Christ, and I had to tell my family about it, and they became violent. My family told me they're gonna tell Taliban about us. Now, if Taliban comes and catch us, they're gonna kill me right on the spot, and they're gonna take my children, make him a radical Muslim, and give my wife to somebody else. Your family, you guys are my brothers and sisters. If you guys don't do anything, who would do it? Your ways will change. Please do something.
In my country, you are issued an identity card. It says you are Muslim, Christian, or Jew. Although I was born Muslim, now I'm a follower of Jesus Christ, my Savior. I want to change my ID card to show I am a Christian and to be able to raise my children as Christians. Under Sharia Islamic law, you can never leave Islam and become a Christian. The path to Islam is a one-way street. Because I went to court to request this change, I received death threats. Even my attorneys have been threatened. To request a change in the religion shown on my ID card is seen as a threat to the social order and violates Islamic law. The court is looking for a reason to deny my request. They are seeking more restrictive laws which will support their position, and they will deny that I can change my card to say I am now a Christian. I'm making a stand on this, please. Will you stand with me? Your voice counts. Let it be heard. And know this, there are many of us in Egypt praying for this freedom, for this right to believe.
Our constitution guarantees freedom of religion. But last month, an angry group of Muslims came and destroyed our church, and no one would protect us. No one. Instead, the authorities tell us we have 7 days to tear our church down. Our cries make no sound in high places. We have no protection and we have no voice. Some days we feel that we have no hope, but we know God still has a plan, and it could come from others speaking out. Perhaps these people would listen to the voice of others from around the world. If you're my brother, and if you're my sister in Christ, please speak for me. Speak for us, because they won't listen to us. You have the right to speak. I want the right to believe and to worship in peace.
Before we close in song, Phil, I think it was a beautiful application. I'll never look at a cookie the same way today or after this. That's a lot of prayers. I eat a lot of cookies. Let's pray.